God provides for His people's needs in convincing ways. The title of this morning's message is God's Convincing Providence. And I believe the Lord gave me a great definition of God's providence on Friday when friends of ours shared some wonderful news about how God had remarkably provided for their son's financial needs to go to medical school. For some years now, we have known the Canone family here in Asheville. Perhaps some of you also know them. And we followed the progress of one of their sons named Daniel, who has had a desire from early childhood to be a missionary doctor. This young man's life and faith is a great illustration of the things we've been considering these past few weeks in Genesis 24 concerning God's will and God's guidance. In verses 1 to 9 in chapter 24, you'll recall we learned from Abraham that we're to read the trajectories of God's will for our lives to determine what it is for us and then in faith act upon it, trusting that He will lead and guide us on our way and ultimately provide us with the things that we need to fulfill His will. Daniel Canone recently graduated from North Greenville University, and believing that it's the will of God for his life to be a medical doctor, he applied to medical schools for admission, and he was accepted. However, Daniel's family, like most of ours, is of average financial means, and he didn't have the $40,000 tuition bill for the first year. But he kept moving forward, even after discouragements along the way in pursuit of scholarships. And then just weeks before starting classes, the medical school contacted him and said that an anonymous donor had given $40,000 for him. Brethren, that's what God's providence is. It's God providing for His people's needs in convincing ways. And furthermore, it's God acting in such a way that completely convinces others that something is His will. And after He does it, people just stand back in amazement and scratch their head and say, this is the hand of God. There can be no denying it. Well, in fact, this is what Rebekah's brother Laban and her father Bethuel confessed when they heard the report from Abraham's servant concerning God's remarkable providence in sending him to find a wife for Isaac. God's providence in leading and guiding the servant to Rebekah was so remarkable that it was undeniable. The theme of our text passage is God's convincing providence, which is evident by three things. The first one in verses 50 and 51 is this, that Rebekah's family members were convinced of God's providence by the circumstances surrounding Rebekah's encounter with Abraham's servant. I'll repeat it. Rebekah's family members were convinced of God's providence by the circumstances surrounding Rebekah's encounter with Abraham's servant. We read of it in verse 50. Look at it with me. It says, "Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, 'The thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken.'" What did Laban and Bethuel have in view when they said, "The thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good"? The thing in view was the servant's remarkable testimony concerning God's providence in ordering all the circumstances that led up to his meeting Rebekah at that well. When Laban and Bethuel said, "The thing comes from the Lord," they were referring to the servant's discourse that we just read in verses 34 to 49, which recounted how Abraham had determined what God's will was concerning Isaac. Namely, that he must have a wife, not from the Canaanites, but from Abraham's native land and from the city of Nahor, his brother. And how God then guided him, guided Abraham's servant on his long journey in order to accomplish his will, leading him to find Rebekah, Isaac's bride. Rebekah's family members recognized something. They recognized the divine origin of her proposed union to be Isaac's wife. When they heard the testimony of God's remarkable providence in this matter, they were convinced, and they stood back in amazement and said, in essence, "There is no denying it. The thing comes from the Lord. We cannot add a word to it or alter it in any way. There is nothing more to be said." God's providence concerning Rebekah's selection as a wife for Isaac couldn't be denied. The evidence was too convincing. And therefore, both her father and brother recognized its divine origin and agreed to allow Rebekah to become Isaac's wife. I think there's a couple of applications here we can draw from this part of the text. The first one is this: never oppose God's will. Awfully simple, but worth mentioning. Because it's possible for you to oppose things that God has clearly made known by His acts of providence. I'll give you an illustration. A friend of mine once told me of a church where he was called to be pastor. And God had moved mountains to bring him to the place of service. And God's fingerprints, as it were all over this man's life. However, shortly after he arrived at this church, there was a man who began to oppose him and wanted him to be removed as pastor. And therefore, my friend confronted him and warned him that God had made it clear by many acts of providence that it was God's will for him to be there and that he had no intention of leaving. But the man didn't recognize the divine origin of the pastor's call to ministry in that place. He disregarded God's convincing providences that had led him there. And within a very short time, that man suddenly dropped dead of a heart attack. Brethren, never oppose God's will. And never oppose things that have clearly been made known and confirmed by His acts of providence. A second application is this: when a man is guided by the Lord and seeking to do His will, it will be recognizable. I didn't say that everyone will recognize it, but it will be recognizable. When a man knows what God's will is, and when he is being guided by the Lord to do it, then there's an objective reality that is discernible about that. You'll see God's fingerprints, as it were, all over the person's life, just as my friend testified. And sometimes by remarkable acts of providence that will occur, confirming God's direction for His will and His leading and guidance. Bethuel and Laban recognized this about Abraham's servant. And by way of application, if you are doing God's will and being guided by the Lord to fulfill it, then others will recognize that about you as well. On the other hand, when a man is not guided by the Lord and not doing His will, then others will also recognize that, because the one is as obvious as the other. So make sure what people recognize in your life is that you're being guided by the Lord to do His will. All right, let's move on to our second point in the text in verse 52 through 54. The second way that God's convincing providence is evident was by the sense of urgency that surrounded the servant's task of bringing Rebekah to Isaac. We read of it beginning in verse 52. And it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard their words that he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. And then they arose in the morning and said, and he said, "Send me away to my master." But her brother and her mother said, Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that she may go." And he said to them, "Do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master." When Abraham's servant heard Laban and Bethuel acknowledge God's convincing providence in the choice of Rebekah for Isaac, he again falls to his knees in thanksgiving to God in verse 52. And then he presented the bridal gifts to Rebekah, which consisted of gold and silver, jewelry and fine garments. And he also gave gifts to her brother and to her mother. And then in this verse 54, did you notice that after the servant and his men had spent the night, he arose and said, "Send me away to my master." And the sense is, right now, I don't want to wait. I want to go now. Imagine that. The guy just kind of walks into their life and you know, eats and drinks in their house and spends the night and proposes to take this woman away from them, presumably forever. And he says, "I want to go now. Send me away now to my master." So put yourself in the family's place. They'd probably never see Rebekah again. She was just going to be too far away to visit. You remember in our previous message discussing the long distance involved. It was about 1,200-mile round trip on camelback, which was not something you took a vacation to go visit your friends or family, right? So how would you have responded to the servant's request to immediately take Rebekah away? Well, notice how Rebekah's family responded in verse 55. But her brother and her mother said, "Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10 days. After that, she may go." Laban and Rebekah's mother proposed waiting for at least 10 days before departing. They wanted to delay the process of departure and postpone it to a later time. But Abraham's servant objected, and he appealed to the fact that God's will and providence concerning this matter was unquestionably clear by prospering his effort to quickly find Rebekah. Again, I think there's some application here for us in this passage. The first one is this: never delay to do the clearly revealed will of God. I think it was probably reasonable, and I trust you would join me in that opinion, that it was probably reasonable for Rebekah's brother and mother to request 10 days to spend with her. But you see, I believe what God wants us to see here, brethren, listen, it's the sense of urgency that we should have to do the will of God. Delay and postponement to do it will make it harder to do later. If something is God's will, then you must be prepared to act on it immediately. If you postpone doing the will of God in your life, then 10 days may turn into 10 months, and then 10 years, and then the time for service is gone. Therefore, if you know something is God's will, then be prepared to act upon it immediately. Abraham's servant had a mission. He knew what the will of God was, and he knew that God had clearly guided him in the path of his will. The unfolding of his providence concerning Rebekah was unmistakable. And therefore, his desire was to act upon these things immediately, without delay, and without postponement. A second application is this. Sometimes opposition to do the will of God may arise from within your own family or extended family. Laban was related to Abraham. Yet he and his mother were the ones that proposed to postpone and delay accomplishing God's will to bring home Isaac's bride. Delays to doing God's will and accomplishing things that he wants done may come right from within your own family or extended family. You may be hindered by them more than anyone else. However, when the will of God is clear in a matter, this providence in guiding you in your path to accomplish his will is also clear, then say with Abraham's servant, "Don't hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way." However, this sense of urgency to do God's will and to bring home the bride wasn't only the servant's desire. It was also Rebekah's desire, which is the third and final point in verses 57 and 58. If you're taking an outline, the third point is this, that God's convincing providence was evident by Rebekah's sense of urgency to go to Isaac and to be his bride. Look at verse 57. So they said, "We will call the young woman and ask her personally." And then they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." To resolve the tension created by this situation, and surely this was a tense situation that was occurring within Laban and Bethuel's family at the time. But to resolve this tension, the matter was ultimately placed upon Rebekah. The servant recognized God's providence in this matter, and Rebekah's family also acknowledged it. But ultimately, the decision to go is made to rest upon Rebekah herself. She alone must decide, will you go to the bridegroom or not? God's guidance in this matter had been made clear. The servant had made the long journey to find a wife for Isaac. Rebekah's family members recognized God's fingerprints and providence all over this proposed union. But ultimately, the matter is now placed upon Rebekah. She alone must answer the question proposed to her by her father and her brother. Will you go with this man? Now, I think if all we saw here was a question posed to Rebekah about whether she was willing to go with Abraham's servant to be Isaac's bride, then we'd be missing a great deal of what God intends for us. Because in essence, this question is posed to every person confronted with the offer of the gospel concerning the heavenly bridegroom. Will you go to Christ? For Rebekah, going to Isaac meant leaving many things behind, right? Even her own family members. The cost of going to the unseen bridegroom would be great. She knew that going to him meant that some things would just never be the same. Accepting the invitation to be joined together with Isaac in marriage would be costly. Yes, there would be many benefits and blessings, but there were also unknowns and fears. After all, Rebekah's decision was whether or not to go to someone whom she had never met or even seen. And she was being called to do it immediately. Others wanted her to postpone the matter. But Abraham's servant insisted on immediacy. Delay was not an option. She was immediately to leave everything behind in order to go to Isaac. And by way of application, the same is true for you as well. If you will go to Christ, if you would have Him as your husband, then you must not delay, but go immediately. There's no time for postponement in this matter. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed hour. You don't know what a day may bring forth. Be willing to leave everything behind to follow Him. In Matthew 10, verse 37, Jesus said, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." Count the cost before you go. Remember the rich young ruler whom Christ required to be willing to part with what was most beloved to him in order to what? In order to follow him. It's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven holding on to something other than Christ than for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. You must be willing to let everything go in order to get to Christ and to be His bride. And if you will go and be joined to the heavenly bridegroom, then great blessing and victory awaits you. I believe that's what's pictured by Rebecca's family, her family's parting blessing upon her after she agreed to immediately go to Isaac. Look at it in verse 59 in our text. So they sent away Rebecca, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebecca and said to her, "Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of ten thousands. And may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them." Rebecca agreed to the servant's terms and decided to go immediately to Isaac. And as they sent Rebecca away, they spoke words that indicate their familiarity. Did you notice this? They it's obvious that her family recognized the Abrahamic promise, God's covenant promise that was spoken to Abraham, in essence, is repeated right here. In Genesis 22:17, we read, "By myself," God says, "by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies." When Rebekah believed the word of Abraham's servant and agreed to go with him to become Isaac's bride, listen, her family's hope for her was expressed in the language of God's covenant promise to Abraham. Little did Rebekah know, and little did her family know, that her union with Isaac would one day result in many descendants, ultimately terminating in the birth of Jesus Christ the Messiah, whose ultimate purpose was to victoriously conquer all His enemies and ours by the shedding of His blood on the cross at Calvary, where He took the place as a substitute for guilty sinners like you and me and rose from the dead on the third day. But before He left His disciples and went away, He sent them someone. He sent them the Holy Spirit of God, of whom Abraham's servant was a type and shadow. To not only accompany them, but also to be sent to seek and to draw others to come to the Savior and be His bride. And brethren, that mission is still going on today. Rebecca, you see, is a picture of the church. Commenting on this, the famous Donald Gray Barnhouse wrote, "Rebecca was thought of before she knew it, and was chosen when she did not know of the existence of her bridegroom. So it has been with us, because Ephesians 1 verse 4 says that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Isaac passed through his experience of sacrifice and resurrection before Rebecca even knew him," Barnhouse says. "The faithful servant left home to find her when she was still ignorant of Isaac's existence. And when the servant found her, he induced her to come with him, not for himself, but for his master. Thus has the Holy Spirit sought us and drawn us to Christ." End quote. In conclusion, let me say this. Perhaps the Holy Spirit is seeking after you and is drawing you right now. Perhaps you're at the end of a long journey. You've heard and you've seen God's remarkable providence in your life, and it has convinced you that you must go to Christ, the bridegroom. Then go to Him. Go immediately and say with Rebecca, "I will go." Christ the bridegroom said in John chapter 6 and verse 37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." And in John chapter 12, Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." If the Holy Spirit of God is drawing you and persuading you to go to Christ, then by faith say, "I will go." Respond as Rebecca did. Be willing to leave everything behind in exchange for being joined to the bridegroom. If you will go to Him, then you will be His bride, adorned with the clothing of His righteousness and riches more precious than silver and gold. Will you go to Him? Will you? Will you go to Him? May the Lord help you to say with Rebecca, "I will go." Shall we pray? Our Father, for the unspeakable gift of salvation, we thank You. And for the unspeakable gift of Your Spirit, who draws people to Jesus and makes them willing in the day of His power, we thank You. Lord, help someone, or perhaps several who are here today, to say, "I will go to Jesus. I will go immediately, right now. I will go to Him by faith, believing and trusting in Him. I want Him to be my husband. I want to be His bride forever." We ask it in His name. Amen.